Tony Sanders outdoors. There we go. That'd be a little turkey talking this morning. And I'm all discombobulated. I was trying to do a turkey call. Let's try again. Good morning, Tony Sanders outdoors. The heck, I don't even know what I say now.
Take two.
Take two.
Take three, actually. But go ahead.
How did I usually start the show? Live radio here.
Good morning, Chattanooga.
Right, there you go. Good morning, Chattanooga area. Tony Sanders Outdoors is live on the air from the banks of the beautiful Tennessee River right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We'll be talking a little turkey today. How are you this morning, Rob?
I'm doing well. How about you, Tony?
I'm having a ball.
Already? Yeah, there's a turkey calling that you're already playing with this morning.
Yeah, we are not good at it, but we're going to learn how before it's all over.
I hope so.
In here is one of my favorite guests. Are you still head of the local area?
I am. I sure
the
am.
Head honcho of the Cherokee chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation, Don Osey. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Let's see. We could give a bunch of accolades. Ones I really like to get, is it the Royal Slam?
The World Slam.
World Slam.
Grand Slam, Royal, and World.
Grand Slam, World Slam, and Royal. I guess it acts the other way. Grand, Royal, and World.
That's right.
Which is not exactly easy to do.
No, it's not.
And we won't discuss money in case your wife happens to get a hold of a recording or anything like that, or what it took to get all those.
It took time, patience, and expertise is what it
that's
took.
That's what it took. That's what it took. One of the best turkey hunters I know, or at least that's what I'm going to say. And we'll be talking a little bit about what the NWTF is doing here in the Cherokee chapter area, as well as shoot your national things real soon, isn't it?
This coming weekend, a week from this weekend.
That I can hear now. I turn the volume up. It's amazing how that works. So that's going to be in Nashville at their... They've been there for, what, several years now?
Yeah, it's probably the best location. They've tried several throughout the country, and year in and year out, they just it just produces well. They had a little over 42,000 people come through the door last year, and it just seems to be a great central location.
Now, is it at the Grand Ole Opry? Is that where they do it?
Opryland Hotel. That'll start Thursday and go through Sunday.
Do they fill up the whole area down there with vendors and stuff?
There is anywhere from 500 to 600 vendors. I don't know how big Opryland is, but there are a lot of people in that area, in that one hall, if
yeah,
you will.
The one big room.
Yeah.
And you go every year, I know.
Every year.
Because we always plan this show around your trip.
Yes, yes. It's a great weekend, a great time to get out and just see the new products on the market, to run into people that are like-minded that you've known through the years, mm-hmm, and to see their kids growing up and coming into the sport. It's a great weekend.
Got some information here. If you are a National Wild Turkey member, it's free to get in the show.
That's right.
But if you join there, it's a $35 fee, which gets you into National Wild Turkey, plus you receive a $25 Bass Pro Shops gift card,
gift
so you're
card.
Really spending
$10.
Yeah, because
that's a good deal.
You got a Bass Pro just on the other side of the parking lot.
Yeah, so you're basically paying $10 to get in.
That's right.
That's a good deal.
That is a good deal.
Yeah, and you're getting a free membership. A membership's $35, and Bass Pro Shop has stepped up to the plate, and you know, with those gift cards, it's a no-brainer.
Oh, absolutely. Now, it starts, you said, Thursday?
Starts Thursday. There's a welcome party Thursday evening. I think the vendor hall opens up Friday morning, goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You know, I hate to admit it, I have never been.
Oh, Tony. When you walk in the door, I walked in the door 2 years ago, and you know, it just opens up. Doors open at 9 o'clock. I walk in the door. There's Aaron Tippin,
mm-hmm.
You know, country singer from years gone by, and he's just one of us. He's not Aaron Tippin.
He's not there as Aaron Tippin,
no,
the entertainer.
No, he's not Aaron Tippin, the entertainer. He's Aaron Tippin, the turkey hunter, and he'll sit there, and along with all the other, the Lee and Tiffany's and the Michael Waddells and the, you know, Wilbur Primos, and all these guys they're just like us, and they have the same passions we do, and you're able to talk to them on a first name basis, and it's just an incredible hunting outdoor weekend.
Now, have you ever been to any of the other big conventions, like for other game?
Used to go to the Buckmaster. There was like they had a trail, you know, where about 4 or 5 weeks out of the year they would go to different locations. Birmingham was one, Indianapolis was another.
Right.
I only went there. I'm not a deer hunter by no means, but I went there because they would have a turkey calling contest.
Oh, okay.
But the Grand Nationals, for what I do and what my passion is, it's just right up my alley.
Sure.
And it's just huge, absolutely huge. And anybody who's in the outdoor industry, whether it be the camo, the gun makers, the ammunition guys, they're all there. And then they've got the there's a 18-wheeler that has these Hall of Fame bucks.
Yeah.
You know, all these massive. I forget the guy's name, but he pulls this thing in, and you go through this trailer and see these just incredible animals.
Animals that we don't see.
No, Lord, no, no. This, the one that strikes my mind is this hole-in-the-horn buck,
mm-hmm.
That I think was actually found, and somebody had actually shot through its antler.
Right.
And it's quite evident, and you can see the fractures there on the horns and the hole, the actual hole that went through, and it's amazing.
But so, somebody was sick after that.
Oh, Lord, I can imagine.
Could you imagine when you go up and you see bone fragments and no blood?
It's no.
Like, oh, no.
And what Tony, happened? Those antlers were just...
We don't see that here because the mass on those wherever it's from, Midwest or wherever, is so big you can do that. You know, here if you shoot an antler, you're going to break it.
Oh yeah, you'll break it
because they're not that big.
Sure,
but some of those Midwestern deer, my Lord, it's amazing.
They're huge, huge.
Hey, 267-1023, 267-1023. If you want to be part of the show, you know, when Don comes in, you always get a lot of turkey calls. And this is a good time. I mean, you're talking to somebody that's got the World Slam of Turkeys. Now, I'm going to attempt to do the World Slam. You got the Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Rio. You
right.
got the Osceola.
Right.
You got the, I don't know.
Merriam's. Yeah. The Merriam's is in the Colorado.
Okay.
North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming. Up into the north,
okay,
from the Midwest over. Obviously, the Rio is in the Texas, Oklahoma,
right.
Kansas. We've got the Eastern. Florida has the Osceola.
Osceola.
Yeah. Then your Royal Slam is the Gould, which is in the Sierra Madres of Mexico. It's just
the last one you got?
Yeah, I actually went about it backwards. Instead of getting my Gould and then my Oscillated, there was an opportunity to come for me to get my Oscillated first.
Okay.
So I actually got my Oscillated in the Yucatan Peninsula.
All right.
In a little area called Campeche. And then from there, the following year, I went and was able to shoot my Goulds.
Now, which one did you use the 5-gallon bucket to call in?
That was the oscillated.
Okay.
Yeah, we were 2.5 hours deep in the jungle. When we got into Campeche, they picked us up at the airport, and we drove to the very edge of the what I would call a village. It's where the road stopped, and from there, we were picked up in a Suzuki Samurai. And went through a trail, literally a four-wheeler trail, for 2.5 hours.
They're not much bigger than a four-wheeler.
Lord, no. And let me tell you, that it was rough, and the trail was made by these Mayans who would have these machetes.
Right.
And they just start whacking in the jungle. And how in the world they got to this specific spot, to this day, I don't know. Our cell phones didn't work. I mean, we were 2.5 hours deep.
Right.
In nowhere. Just a little eerie at times.
I can imagine. Especially with all the stinking murders that are happening down there right now.
We got off that plane in Mexico City.
Your shotguns are not going to do anything to stop those guys.
We got off the plane in Mexico City, and these Mexican federales, or whatever they're called, have these M16s, and they're just standing there. Hands on them, you know. They're not greeting the people. They're holding these guns. And we got off the plane, and they put our luggage on this little dolly. All of a sudden, they bring these German shepherds out there. I thought, well, okay, we're fine. Well, these German shepherds start going nuts. What I'm saying is my baggage is about to be just destroyed. All of a sudden, this Hispanic guy comes and gets us and takes us into a room. And at this point, I'm thinking, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to see my wife again. Something is wrong.
You packed dog biscuits, didn't you?
Well, I'm sitting there just, what in the world happened? Well, come to find out, one of the guys that we had went with, a guy from Birmingham, had been on a bear hunt a month before.
Okay.
And had a shell cartridge in his bag. And them dogs smelled it.
Wow.
And let me tell you something. They took our bags, took us into a room where we could only see a little window. And not really, those federales, just everybody just, you know, got onto that dolly. And they just took our bags, just opened them up, poured them on the car, tarmac there. And this guy comes in, and they're speaking Spanish. And I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know what's going on. And, you know, I'm just kind of looking around, and the federales are out there holding their M16s. I wasn't sure I was coming home.
I can believe that.
So finally, the guide comes, and they were able to find out what happened, and we were able to go on. But that was the start of an interesting week.
I bet. Hey, Tony Sanders Outdoors going to go pay a bill or two, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Don Osi about turkey hunting. Call in, talk fishing with Rob, and I'll just sit here and kind of moderate. We'll be right back. Vendors Outdoors, 267-1023, in here with Mr. Don Osi from the Cherokee chapter of the NWTF. Actually, just talking about his experience with the Mexican police in, where'd y'all fly into, Mexico City?
We went into Mexico City and from there to Campeche.
And this was after, you know, when you think about it. I mean, and this is the part I think people that don't hunt don't understand. It's one thing to get skunked hunting in Soggy Daisy.
Yes.
But you're in Mexico. You've ponied up for the flight. You're going through all the garbage that goes with traveling internationally to hunt.
Right.
Did you have guns with you?
No. We got them from the guide. I didn't want no part of trying to go through all the issues of taking a gun across the border.
So you're going through all this trouble. There's still no guarantee you're going to get a bird. You don't even see a bird.
No, and prior to us going, we went late in the season. There had been three groups of five there before us. And then those combined groups of 15 guys, they shot two birds.
Wow.
We shot 14. 3 days.
How many people?
Six. And we figured out, when I say we shot 14, we figured out the second day how to hunt them. It was the second, the first day, we, I think they shot one, maybe two. But the way they hunt birds in the turkey in Mexico is they get you up early and you shoot them off the roost. They sneak you up. They have no concept of calling.
Right.
And we had decided to take electronic callers, and we found that morning that the caller would do a complete scenario of gobbling when we wanted to cut it short, and we were able to figure out how to cut it short with a water bottle. And once we figured that out, if we heard a bird, we were able to harvest him.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They were the most aggressive I've ever seen.
Well, they didn't know what the heck it was.
They thought it was another gobbler challenging their territory, and they wanted no part of it.
Interesting.
Wouldn't have it. So I've still got the 5-gallon jug. I've got it at the house. I brought it home.
I don't blame you.
So
That one was now, I wonder if people going to those same guides are using 5-gallon buckets
the
now.
The guy, I'll tell you what we did. The guy that I went with is a close friend of mine. He's a taxidermist. And we determined that if we could go to Gatlinburg to one of these souvenir shops and find these little Indian tom-tom drums.
Right.
It makes the exact same sound. So he actually shipped 20 of them to Campeche last year to the guide, and he keeps them there for him. So they took Johnny Morris, the owner of Bass Pro Shop, this last year, and they shot 14 more.
And Johnny's going, wait a minute, I've got a whole store full of stuff, and you're giving me Cherokee Nation tom-toms.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to put that on the shelf, but it works over there. So
that is so funny.
I got this 5-gallon drum that'll bring in turkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure you do. Uh-huh. No, here, look, it's the real drum.
Well, and I'll tell you the way it happened. We had gone out that morning. And again, the scenario is you hear a bird, they call it singing. They don't gobble, they sing. They sound like a rough grouse. And once you do that, the little guide, the Mayan guide that takes you, he'll locate where he thinks that bird is at. So you sneak up, and as it gets daylight, you try to shoot him off the tree. And that's part of the reason why a lot of guys in the turkey community, they don't want no part of going over there to spend, you know, $4,000-$6,000 and shoot a bird out of a tree. That's just, you know, for a purist, that's just not
sure
all about it. So after the first day of hunting, we were in camp the next morning eating breakfast and actually heard the drumming of what we thought at that point was a turkey. Well, as it turned out, the ladies that were cooking for us, they would use the water to cook and all this and that. Well, when the drum or the a 5-gallon jug was empty, they would throw it up over the camp, over the tarp.
Right.
Well, we're sitting there eating, and all of a sudden we hear, dum, 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 dum. Well, that's where that 5-gallon water jug was hitting something
right
behind the camp. So I heard it, and I froze, and nobody else was, you know, I guess, listening or anything. And I told him, I said, there's a bird right here on top of us. And they just kind of hold on.
Had you heard the birds?
I heard them the morning before.
So you knew what they sounded like?
Yes.
In their habitat?
Yes.
Okay.
I knew the sound.
Okay.
And, you know, during turkey season anyway, just from hunting these mountains, you listen for the smallest.
Sure.
You know, that's not always clear, and I heard that, and I told Shane, I said, I've just heard a bird. So we just kind of stopped. Well, lo and behold, the lady throws another one over there that where they were cleaning up, made the same sound, so I ran and got it. And I come over there, and he just starts laughing. Well, I start hitting this thing with bamboo sticks, with a slate call striker stick,
right,
and all this stuff, and finally we determined that if I held it and hit it with my two fingers on the bottom, it was dead on. We went out that afternoon and killed three. If we heard one, we shot him. And the next 2 days, I mean, if we got on one, it was a matter of time.
That's funny. And so now they're using tom-toms from...
Using tom-toms. And the only reason they are, the water jugs are so big.
Yeah.
I kept my T-shirt on, but I took my shirt and covered the jug because it was, you know, blue.
Right.
Well, now they're able to take these little tom-toms that are the size of a Folgers coffee can.
Sure.
You know, they can tote it pretty easy. So there you go.
Now, that's adapting.
That's adapting. There's a lot of that going on.
Well, I mean, shoot, you got to. Now, of all the birds in the World Slam, which was the toughest? Was it that one?
No. The Eastern, the birds that we hunt here are hands down the hardest of all of them.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. No debate.
Now, why is that? Now, that's the last thing I would have expected.
I think it's because of the terrain. You know, I've talked to Buster Faley. Buster's probably one of the more widely known turkey hunters, even not only here but in the country. And he says the same thing. This Eastern Tennessee strain of the turkey, you know, they've just got so many options when you're hunting these draws. You can go out to West Tennessee and, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and people predominantly hunt fields that are surrounded by pines.
Right.
Well, over here in Eastern Tennessee, we're hunting hardwoods, and there is just no rhyme or reason, you know, where they choose to go. All you know is they're going to roost halfway up a mountain, and at that point, they're going to go left, right, or the opposite way that you are.
Sure.
And it's nothing but a chase, but they are hands down the hardest bird that of the six that I've shot.
Interesting. I don't feel so bad. That
no.
I didn't get a bird last
year. I've made this comment, and I've heard other people make it as well. If you can shoot this bird here, you can go after any one of them.
Really?
Oh, yeah, easy. Without an issue.
I still say I need to set up my blind over there at the roundabout at TVA.
There's several people that would like to do that and a couple other places around town.
Right there on DuPont Park.
Yeah, Lord, yeah, I saw them there the other day, right up under them pines.
What was frightening is my wife and I were coming back from school. We were coming down to DuPont Parkway, and we were chit-chatting, and all of a sudden my wife just hits the brakes, and I thought something ran out in front of the road. She literally comes to a stop. She goes, "I think I saw a turkey." I said, "Well, that's highly possible." All of a sudden, this head pops up,
yeah.
Then another one, and another one, and then there were a couple little heads.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Oh, look. There's baby turkeys." I'm like, okay, honey, we need to go.
Before we get run over,
yeah.
I took a guy last year, never hunted. He's not a hunter, a guy named Brent Morgan. He owns Integrity GMC.
Mm-hmm.
And we had got to chasing birds, and he would be calling me during the day where he was crossing the dam and see these birds and wanting to make a call. I know somebody at TVA. You know, we can hunt these here at Tony. That's not going to happen, Brent. We might get in a little trouble. I know, but this one's big.
Oh, that's too funny.
Entertaining.
All right, let's pay a bill or two, and when we come back, we'll talk about what you guys got coming up here.
Okay.
With the chapter.
Cool.
Tony Sanders Outdoors. Be right back. Welcome back, Tony Sanders Outdoors, 267-1023, 267-1023. Where's all the turkey hunters? You got a champion turkey caller, World Slam holder, one of only three in the area, right? That's what it was last year. I think so.
Two or three. I'm not sure about
one of only three people in this radio listening area that have done this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just listening. They're sitting back enjoying their coffee and listening. They're not calling. 267-1023. What's happening out at Sportsman's today?
Today out at Sportsman's, they are having, as soon as I find it, sorry.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
I already know.
Yes, please tell me.
It's the Swarovski.
I was waiting for the pronunciation on that, so I'm glad you did that one.
It's a Swarovski Optics Demo. Now, if you have never looked through Swarovski, I hate that. If you've never looked through the binoculars or their optics, you don't know what you're missing. I was in Colorado, right, when Chris Wilmore and I, Chris from SCI, went out to elk hunt. And I'm sitting there on the front porch of our cabin, or whatever you want to call it we were staying in. And I'm looking. I have a pair of Brunton binoculars, very nice binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm sitting there, and I'm scanning the ridge of the mountain, and there's a guy there and who has been all over the world hunting. It was just really fascinating talking to this guy. And I'm sitting there looking, and he goes, here, take these and take a look. And it was night and day. I mean, it was night and day difference between what I was looking at and what I was now looking at with his.
Wow.
And I said, wow. I said, but what do these cost? He said, $3,500.
Oh.
And but here he, and I made the comment pretty much the same thing. Oh my gosh, I couldn't do that. And he said, well, think about it. He goes, you know, when I bought these, I was going to New Zealand, red stag hunting or whatever. He goes, so I'm spending all this money, then I want to go down there and not be able to see something.
Sure.
And they have lifetime warranties and all that. And Sportsman's they have several that are in the $2,500-$2,600 range over there. But they are just amazing how clear, how much light gathering they have. It's just, they're phenomenal glasses.
Mm.
But even if you quote, can't afford some of those, you can definitely learn a lot about it. They know optics. There's no doubt. Let's talk to Jesse. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Tony. It's Jesse. I called you. I think I was the first caller of the year there with you that morning about the ammo shortage we got.
Yes, sir. We still have it.
Yeah, I know that's right.
Matter of fact, it was on the front page of the Chattanooga paper yesterday.
Sure was.
Shooter's Depot interviewed John Martin as far as how difficult it is to obtain ammo right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this the deal with the government that bought up all the kids, and they bought up how many million hollow point bullets or whatever. But I just want some range and target bullets, you know.
I do too.
Walmart, they don't even have 22 shells at Walmart. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm out here listening to you.
Right.
I just want to say hey and hey to the turkey guy there. I'm not very good at it, but it sure is fun to go when you, just the excitement level when you get that call and you got one gobbling back at you, whether you can get him to come over or not, it's still pretty exciting. But my luck hasn't been too good, but I have talked to some.
that's what I do is I talk to them.
Yeah, well, I work all night long, and the guys that I hunt with, they do too, and we get off work in the morning and head up here on the mountain, and you just got to tough it out, you know, and sleep when you get home later in the day.
There you go.
Yeah, the sleep's overrated during turkey season. Don't give it a thought. You can catch up after season.
Yeah, well, it is a lot of fun. We might see one going riding down the road or something, but we get out there and start clucking to them, you know, and they gobble back. I hear one over here and one over there.
That's right.
Whether you can get them over or not, it's still fun to do. Just being out there, I guess.
Jesse, man, thanks so much.
Yep, I'm a listening, man.
I appreciate
the call.
Bunch of us out here. I don't want your show to go away or nothing because I don't know nobody call or nothing. But I enjoy listening to you on my way home. I got off there about 5 o'clock. I'm rolling north there.
All right, Jesse. Thank you so much, man. Thanks for calling.
All right.
I have to agree. I tell you what, the deer hunting, the bird, I'm still an upland game guy, but, man, those times we've been out and those turkeys started,
oh, yeah.
Your heart rate gets up.
Oh, it does.
And
I'm terrible. I've thought about this ever since we went last year, and there's a lot of times what I'll try to think about how the hunt went and what happened, what we should have done, could have done, and I, for a year now, have thought about how we should have just sat another 10 minutes on that field, 10 more minutes. And, you know, but I've also been where we had the same scenario and we did sit and the turkey left, you know,
right.
And I know it's one of them you just don't know deals, but that turkey that you and I got on last year, he should have been DRT.
Yep.
It was just minutes and, we'll get after him again. He's still there. He was gobbling last two Saturdays ago. So He's in, still in that area.
Just taunting you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, your banquet's coming up when?
Coming up Saturday, March 2nd at Chester Frost Park. Doors open at 5:30. And we're getting an incredible response, more so than we've had in years past.
Really?
So and I don't know if that's because the, you know, maybe the economy's kind of eased a little bit. I certainly don't think the economy is better, but in the perception of those out there, there just seems to be a little more traffic.
Right.
I think it's that, but it could also be the, you know, with everybody being so uptight about the gun, and just like Jesse was talking about with the ammunition, you know, we're going to have 30 plus guns there.
Right.
And this 10-10-10 scenario we do, there's, I mean, we've sold 2,000 or 3,000 tickets to the today, and there's just a lot of interest, a lot of activity, and you know, we're going to offer some hunts again and different things, but it almost seems to me, and you know, you'd have to ask the SCI guys and the NRA
guys. They'll be in next week.
Yeah, but it just seems to me like there's a rally cry.
I think so.
Going on with the hunting community, and you know, I made the comment and I showed Rob, we have actually obtained an AR-15 that's going to be raffled at the banquet, and I made that known to some of the guys the other day at Aztec, and now they're coming up to me.
Oh yeah,
you know, tell me about this gun. Well, I don't know. It's an AR-15. I don't even know what it looks like. You know, if it's not a shotgun with number fours or fives, I have no interest. You know, so it's been a little entertaining, and they're looking at me. And
there's a lot of people out there that shoot shotguns that know what the AR is and have an interest in it.
Tony, I was with a guy yesterday, and I told him about it, and he opens up his phone. We're in the plant, and he must have showed me 30 pictures of these guns, and I'm thinking, man, you're borderline. You know, I got a dozen or so shotguns, and this guy's got an arsenal. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you know, tell you how important I think the AR is. I have 3 this year at my banquet.
Wow.
In July.
And you can't find them.
No. We actually, we're going to have fun with one of them. One of them, we're going to auction off a 30-round magazine, and with it comes the AR.
Wow.
So it'll get pretty crazy. But no, it's crazy this year.
We've had guys come up. We obtained it Wednesday, and we've had guys come up and offer to buy it, and I was a little hesitant because I didn't want that expense.
Yeah.
And not be able to get, you know, the money back out of it. I was okay if we broke even. Well, we're going to be go way beyond that.
Yeah, I told you, I'll let you break even today.
Yeah,
right here.
We're going to ride it out, see what happens.
Oh, you guys will do well with it. Hey, somebody may even try a turkey hunt with it. You never know.
I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, if you get enough lead down range, yeah, maybe it could go either way on that one.
Well, you know, if you listen to all the anti people out there, those things shoot so fast, it won't be much different than a shotgun.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, man, if you did hit that, that'd be, you know, breast meat would probably be.
No, it's a little bitty bullet. Tony Sanders Outdoors. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Tony Sanders Outdoors. Hey, got a couple things coming up here. We're just talking to Don about the Turkey Federation March 2nd. So it's, 3 weeks away?
Saturday.
Three Saturdays. You'll be in Nashville next week.
Next weekend, that's right. Be at the Grand National. Sorry about that.
That's all right. On March 16th. Hey, this is kind of cool. We all hear about wild game banquets. This is the second time they've done this. New Salem Baptist Church in Saudi Daisy is having a fish fry. Instead of doing a wild game banquet, they do a big fish fry. Their speaker is pro angler Clay Dyer. Now, if you don't know who pro angler Clay Dyer is, Clay has no legs and no arms and is a pro fisherman.
Wow.
Just the coolest guy. What a great story he has. But he will come. He will be there. And it's amazing to watch this guy. I went out and watched some video of him casting and catching. It's amazing. It is amazing. This is truly a human being that has overcome what he's been dealt. And you would never, unless you're looking at him, unless you're actually looking at him, you'd have no idea what this guy is as far as the challenges he has. He doesn't, they don't faze him. It's really pretty cool.
Wow.
That's an inspiration.
So that's going to be on March 16th. If you want tickets, call the church office at 842-3078, 842-3078. They have a bunch of people there. I went last year, had a ball, have a lot of door prizes, and it's Don, something I know, something that's real close to your heart. It's just a strong Christian message to men and boys.
That's
and ladies. It's open to everybody. But it's pretty cool. You know, last week, was it last week, Rob, that we were at Silverdale?
Yes.
Last week we were at Silverdale Baptist, right?
Mm-hmm.
1,800 people there. They had, I don't know how many they ended up with. They said they couldn't have got another person at Bayside. Hank Parker was there.
Yes,
and this is what they said about Hank, and this is pretty cool. And I was pretty tired. Of course, getting up at 3 and then going all day, I pretty much bailed after we did our vending over there. But Parker stood around and talked to people, they said, until there was nobody to talk to. He just stayed 2 hours after his presentation, signing autographs, taking pictures, just talking to people about fishing.
Tony, I don't think you see that with anybody else in any other community. But you go into the hunting, fishing community. I've seen that with other outdoor celebrities. If you go to the Grand Nationals next week, those guys will sit there and talk to you like they know you. I've never seen nothing outside of that community like that before.
So it's people that don't, and we have a lot of people listen to the show because I talk to them all the time that don't hunt or fish. I'm telling you, it's a different world.
Yes, I agree.
It's why when you come in here, Don, at 5 a.m., I'm ready to go. I'm excited because I, to this day, 6 years later, still enjoy the heck out of this.
Sure.
This because this is just, it's what I've become. So, finally, don't forget our friends at Udawah Mini Storage, udawahministorage.com, 238-5967. They have two locations, one across from Udawah Nursery, and the other is just a little bit up the road on Mahan Gap Road. It's wonderful. Get your world organized, your outdoor world organized. Don't even have to roll your window down to go inside the facility. You just dial it up on your cell phone, the gates open, and you go in. Go in, hook up, and pull out. Go in and pull the stuff off the shelf. You know, you can have your turkey shelf, the deer shelf, the fishing shelf. You can have it all and get everything organized the way it should be. Udawah Mini Storage. Appreciate them being on with us. All right, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a news break, and we'll be back shortly. Tony Sanders Outdoors.